Blog Talk Radio.
And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, our leader, our teacher, our guide, and of course, our warner in this present day and time. And in their names, I would like to greet all of you in the chat rooms, on the phones, as well as my distinguished panelists in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And it seems that we have, okay, we got him back. Okay. Okay, so tonight I expected to be joined by Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida, as well as Dr. Salam Muhammad, who's originally from St. Louis, but for right now, I am honored to have with me, of course, someone who hasn't been with us in a while, but he has not been forgotten with his wisdom and his expertise, and he's such a young man, but so astute and well-learned and well-spoken. So I would like to first present our dear brother, who needs no introduction, Student Minister Eddie X. Stallings. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
And welcome back. We have missed you tremendously. And how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, doing good. Just overcoming a bit of a little infection that I had. Put me down for a couple of days, but feeling great now. Praise be to Allah. So, get back to it. But I did enjoy the couple of days of sleep, though. I'm not going to lie. But I'm glad
okay.
It's President's Day, so I'm not going to let the slaves off for the day. So I have to take this Monday and spend it. What I would usually be working, but spend this day with the family on the radio.
sir. Well, we have certainly missed you, and we'd be glad when they regulate your schedule to the point where you could join us on a regular basis. And go ahead, Brother Eddie, just tell the listening audience something about yourself, because, you know, we have new listeners all the time who may not be as familiar with you as some of our regular listeners. So introduce yourself,
yes,
soldier.
Yes, ma'am. Well, first, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger. And I bear witness of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan as a divine reminder in our midst. I serve and work here and out of the city of Augusta, Georgia, as a student prison reform minister in the southern region of the Nation of Islam. Currently working out of a number of youth detention, federal and state prison, teaching and spreading the works of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, to the civilization of our people who are in the belly of the beast. Outside of that, I'm just a brother, a father, and a husband, and a nerd. But that's me, and I just hope what I have is something good for everyone who's listening.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Well, like I said earlier, it's good to have you back. And, of course, we have with us someone who is certainly not a stranger to these airwaves and who is oftentimes with me on every show. And I thank him for his brotherhood, and I thank him for his support and the wisdom that he shares with us, my co-host, my brother, my friend, Reginald X. Wynn. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Queen Aziza, beloved. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, as always. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this wonderful show and this platform to get out the absolute truth that we are taught to and through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as he was taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And also, I thank you, brother, for coming on and allowing me to be present with all your wisdom that I know that you're going to bring to the discussion tonight concerning this topic. Without further ado, I want to get right into it. But before I started my opening statement and giving thanks to Allah, I would like for all of the listening audience to just take about 10 seconds to meditate and pray that all of the believers, all of the travelers who will be attending the Savior's Day, I want us to just meditate and pray and pray that they all have, or we all have, a safe trip, because we will be on these highways and byways this week, and we all need a safe going and a safe return. So keep that in your prayers.
Yes, sir. And we have been joined, of course, by Dr. Salam Muhammad. So I want to give him an opportunity to come down front and center and present himself. Dr. Salam, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
How are you? I'm absolutely perfect by Allah's grace, and we're all perfect. Every
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, why
don't you give us a brief
Yes, sir, absolutely. Give us a brief introduction of yourself so we can get started on the subject matter.
Well, I am a devout follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I have heard his voice and I've seen his face. And I know that he raised a brother from among the lost found tribe of Shabazz unto himself as his son. And he set him down and said, on this man I lay the key. And that would be the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I bear witness that the Most High, Master Farad Muhammad, came and started it all here in the wilderness of North America. And it is of these three great men that I live the life I live, and that the Nation of Islam was birthed. And I think tonight, I think we're going to cover some ground, and what I do most of the days is do health advocacy and law advocacy, and I travel the country doing this. I began in Mosque 55 in Memphis, and I went to Brother Donald to Mosque 27 when he was in the old Sears building years ago. And I left there and came back to 55 and joined the South Haven Study Group under the leadership of Brother Tadaro Muhammad as this student coordinator. And I spent a little bit of time in Mosque 4 during the time of the Million Man March. So I'm rooted, suited, and booted in Islam and freedom, justice, and equality.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, as you know, usually Brother Kareem usually hosts this Monday night show. But Brother Kareem is otherwise occupied at the time, and we just didn't want to put up a rebroadcast tonight because this is the last live broadcast that we're going to have for the rest of the week because, of course, everyone is traveling to Savior's Day. But for those who are not necessarily of the Islamic or Muslim faith, we will run rebroadcasts throughout the week because we do have a large Christian and Hebrewites and other people who follow us. So we're not going to abandon the airwaves. We are going to be running some very good rebroadcasts for you. But I listened to the time of what must be done, gentlemen, and what I wasn't expecting, I wasn't expecting to become emotional about it, but at the very end when the minister said that he has, you know, wiped his hands of the burden that had been put up on him to warn us, I realized that, you know, that trumpet was blowing. And that was the last time that we were going to hear the siren and the urgency of that particular message from our dear beloved minister, Farrakhan. And so it put in me a feeling of urgency that I personally have to heed the call when he said that, what are we going to do with these lecture series? You know, are we going to let them sit up and collect dust? And I know he mentioned ministers, but as we are taught in the nation, we are all ministers. So when we get this knowledge, we have to share. We have to keep reiterating this message that we receive from the minister for as long as we possibly can and at every opportunity that we must get. And for some reason, Allah put it on my spirit. I don't know why, but it was very profound to me when he was talking about the seal of the prophet and how that the books, you know, are now sealed, the Torah, the Gospel, the Quran are now sealed, and that there's no way in and there's no way out. So we are definitely in that valley of decision now. We're definitely at that point of urgency, and we are definitely in the time of Allah. And so the first question I want to ask each of you is, what was your reaction, or how did the time and what must be done, part 58, affect you? So I'm going to start with you, Brother Eddie, since you've been gone so long. How did that affect you, sir?
Brother Eddie, As-salamu alaykum, Brother Eddie.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir.
Yes, sir. Oh, I'm blessed now. I can lean back now.
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well,
I'm putting you out front there, Brother Eddie. You out front, brother. I'm your hey, you're my messenger tonight, and I'm your convert.
Well, I'll do my best just to at least be your brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, it's a. I watched part 58. 2.5 times, because the third time I couldn't stay awake much longer, but because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his last great lecture series, and our presence at that dispensation of time, was a lecture series in what we now know as the Theology of Time. And now Minister Farrakhan has left us a 58-part lecture series of body of work called The Time and What Must Be Done. And we know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has labored since his vision and his going up on the wheel to find out what that one thing was that he was to do before he could go and meet again his father and begin the second phase of his work, or should I say the third. But that perspective leaves a great weight on us, that last episode, which of course all of these parts are to be studied, and all of these parts will really be our lectures that those of us who do have the privilege to go out and to teach our people, they will be the subject of our lectures for many years to come. But as far as what it left in me personally was a great weight of the realization of the work that we have to do, that if before he had not fully done his job, he has now, if never before, truly and fully done his job. He has never more made the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so plain, so complete, and so clear for us to make a decision on what side of the fence we stand on, not just to believe or disbelieve, but as believers, which side of the fence of whether or not we will get up and carry our weight and do our work, the work of the civilized man that Supreme Wisdom talks about. Because the judgment is not the beginning of those who believe and disbelieve, but the beginning of those who said they believed and whether or not they lived and acted and worked on the belief. So he left on me personally, and thus a great weight, a humbling weight to assess what we have already done and how much more we must do to be worthy to be called disciples of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under his leadership. And for me to express really what it meant to see that particular lecture and the way it closed, and his thanks to Brother Joshua Farrakhan and his encouraging him to give these lecture series, and Minister Farrakhan making the statement that he has wiped our blood off of his hands, which he's used that phrase many times before. But that particular time when he went before the multitude now, for the Bible says that Jesus, he would teach the multitude. Minister Farrakhan has taken this message and gone international via the medium, the stream of internet. And now millions of people every week have access to this teacher. And then to end this teaching with really, which is the high point and the crux of the power of Master Farrakhan Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan, this great wheel, four parts, about the power to build and destroy of this wheel, which is the destruction of a mountain. He said to us, and I hope I'm not out of place in sharing this, but he said to us that what he is giving us in this lecture series, in so many words, this is going to walk him right in to the charges that would be charged of Jesus. And what were those charges? They were sedition, blasphemy. He was an enemy of the state. And we know that we have been waiting for the enemy to come after him so that he can begin that phase of Jesus' life that we talk about in the Christian faith, which is his going up on the cross. This is a heavy, 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 heavy thing for us who are living the prophet's lives in the Nation of Islam, because we believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Nabi Farrakhan are Jesus. And so those of us who study scripture and see this last message of him and see the way he has been talking to us, it is a test of our faith and our love for him, but an encouragement for us to know that we are coming closer to the door of the end of this world and a great hereafter, but also at the door of a suffering and a trial for us that we are going to go through and may already be going through to make us worthy to walk our people into a new world. So, as best as I could say, that's really what that lecture, not going into the detail of the word teaching of that lecture, but that's really what that lecture meant to me. It was a final, you know, wow. This lecture series, which we watched the beginning over a year ago, when he was breaking it down, beginning with Yaqub and the making of the devil, and ending with the great power that brings an end to the devil, and then ushers in a new world, you know. We have to truly be like Peter, walking on the water. We must really keep our eyes on him now, lest we drown. But that's where I would leave that. Praise be to Allah.
Thank you, Brother Eddie. Thank you so much. And someone else has joined us, of course, and he needs no introduction, but of course I would be remiss in not acknowledging that he has joined us, as I had promised. So let us hear the greetings from our beloved student minister and host of our live study group, Put on the New Man, Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Queen Aziza. And, of course, our dear brother, Brother Reginald Nguyen. How are you, dear brother? How are you, dear sister?
Mighty fine, by Allah's grace, sir. Thank you very much, Brother Jane.
All praises due to Allah. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to give voice on these airways to the message and teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the fulfillment of prophecy that takes us to the end of this world and the establishment of the new world. That is how critical and how prophetic the time is at which we have arrived. I want to thank you, dear Sister Aziza, for allowing us this opportunity by the grace of Allah. For those of us who viewed the Honorable Minister Louis, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's finale of his lecture series on last Saturday, at the end of which he said in a somewhat chiding but admonishing way that we as students in the ministry have the obligation of taking his words and this message of warning to the people, not only black people, but as he stated, reciting scripture, the scriptural instructions of Jesus to his disciples, he said, now take this message to every nation, kindred, and tongue. And so this forum, this platform, and this opportunity that you extend to us who are students of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it is a wonderful, wonderful facilitator, dear Queen, to allow us to follow the minister's instruction, which, of course, you know, and I think all who have been listening to me know, that is my passion. And that is the purpose, I believe, for which Allah created me in the first place.
Yes, sir. Well, I can bear witness to that. I can bear witness to that. All praises due to Allah. Okay, well, Brother James, thank you for once again joining us and blessing us with over 40 years of experience and wisdom. So, sir, the honor is always mine. You're always thanking me, but really, Nation Building Movement Network would not be anything without you and all of the other hosts. So I am the one who is truly honored to have met you all and brought you all together where we can work together in brotherhood and sisterhood and expound and share the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and work to save our people. So once again and always, thank you to the Minister James Muhammad. Since
praise
you love to call my whole name.
Because it's a profound name.
Oh, yes, my father made sure of that. And let me just
praise
say, we're going to get back to the initial question, and I want to hear, because I know you probably don't know Brother James, but Brother Eddie was speaking. That was who you heard speaking. Brother Eddie is back with us.
Okay.
Got him on a rare Monday night, and we have Dr. Salam Muhammad, Muhammad Salam with us, as well as Brother Reginald. And I want to go to Dr. Salam now, and I want to ask you that same question, and I want to hear from you and Brother Reginald too, also Brother James, about the impact that Part 58 had on you. So, Dr. Salam,
yes, ma'am.
Yes, and I'm so elated that our brother joined us. Assalamu alaikum, soldier.
Wa alaikum salam. It's wonderful, man. What can I say? I am humbled.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I want to go back a ways to how we started, and that was with Muhammad Speaks. And Muhammad speaks. Everything we do in this life has term limits. And one night on Elevated Places, a sister called in on Dr. Ava's show, and she was sobbing a little bit. And she said, I just don't know why we went from Muhammad speaks to final call. And I happened to be the blessed one that evening to come right behind her. And for me, that was quite easy to answer. And my answer was this. Muhammad doesn't speak forever. There has to come a point in his speaking that he announces a conclusion to the program when he's leaving that program and going into a final call. I saw that as Muhammad speaks. Muhammad is still speaking, but we have evolved into the next phase in the final call. It's still going to be the final call newspaper, and Muhammad is still speaking. Now we're evolving into the time and what must be done. That is two evolutions above the base evolution with the same program and the same participants. But no real prophecy from a real prophet is ever stagnated.
Right.
Prophecy is motion. And always forward motion. So right now, what I looked at when I saw the time and what must be done, the time, I kept repeating that. And dear family, if you look at the first word, which is the has a pronoun in it, H-E, he. If you look at time has a pronoun in it, me. M-E, and of course, is a conjunction. What has a preposition in it? A-T, at. Must has a pronoun in it, us. B is self-explanatory. It's an action word meaning bringing into existence. And done has the word one in it. So if you put all that together, this was spiritual in itself, and many of us may not have seen that. But when you put it together, it's he, me, and us at be one. And I saw that. And that is exactly what we're evolving into now, the oneness of Allah, God. Now what we have to do is understand why this man spoke for over a year on the same subject, and a Christian pastor listened to one of Dr. Ava's shows, and he called me. And he said, "Brother, y'all got something going on there." And I said, "Why don't you tell your people that? And you will grow yourself." I said, "But what we have going on is that we're evolving into what Allah has willed for us." The messenger put a burden on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he said, "On this man I lay the key." He didn't say, "I'll give him the key." He didn't say, "I'll pass him the key." He didn't say, "I will will him the key." The messenger of Allah said, "On this man I lay the key." When you lay a key, you rest it on a man in a recumbent position, as if you're depositing something on him. He had to stay focused. He had to stay in tune with the time and what must be done, because that was the burden, and that burden is still there. I don't really think he's saying this is my finality, but what he's really saying is now you have to be the wind beneath my wings. So when I see the time and what must be done, I see it as very, very, very spiritual. And as I mentioned to you earlier, dear sister, Detroit, Mecca, that's where his first footprint was, Master Farad Muhammad. And now we have evolved into traveling to where he made a footprint. We made a footprint October 16th, 1995 in Washington, D.C. And the actual day of the Million Man March wasn't near as powerful as the day after, because the day after, dear family, you could look on that lawn and you could never tell that anyone was ever there. We left it as we found it, and we gave it back to him to show him that Allah is God. So I don't want to be too long-winded, but I wanted to say those words because I'm happy of this time. It's not anything I'm fearing. I love the minister. He didn't say he was going anywhere, but it's just time now for us to move forward, and that's what I see.
Yes, sir. Okay, and thank you. Thank you, Dr. Salam. And Brother Reginald, you want to expound on that? How did Part 58 impact you?
Wow. Let me first start by saying, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi. And I further bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is the one that he raised to be our eternal leader, teacher, and guide. And I further bear witness that he is the exalted Christ. And I thank them both for leaving us a divine warner, a divine teacher, a divine student, a divine servant of those three men, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it is in their three names that I greet all of the listening audience, the panel members, as well as you, once again, Sister Queen, with the greeting words of peace and paradise. I say it in Arabic, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Okay, well, actually, to hear this last lecture was quite bittersweet for me. I say bitter because this is the conclusion of absolute truth being given to Muslims, Christians, Jews, agnostics, Buddhists, and in fact, the whole of humanity. The message is one way, the good news, and one way the good news for those of us who are seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and the gospel for the enemies of Allah, his Christ, and their disciple. I have been working on a study in which I describe Master Farah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in which the main outlining topic of the study is the triunion or and the trinity of these three marvelous, divine, and masterful teachers. The trinity or triunion mentions the Father, which I consider to be the Mahdi or Master Farah Muhammad, the Son, the Christ and Messiah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and their disciple, who I consider Emmanuel, because in him I do see God. I see God as a person because I wasn't around for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad or Master Farah Muhammad. But in my presence, the man that has resurrected me from the state of ignorance, from a state of illusion and disillusion, from a state of just plain old silliness and sport and play, I see God in that man. And, you know, Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. So when we see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we are seeing the Father and the Son, which means I use the term Holy Spirit, but he is we all are spiritual beings, and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is that Holy Spirit that has brought us absolute and all truth for the time, what must, not what should, but what must be done. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan, you know, some may think I'm going overboard with this expression of triune or trinity, but we all can agree that the Father and the Son is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad. But some may not agree with me using the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as the Spirit. But remember, in the scriptures, Jesus said, I could tell you many things, but you cannot bear them now. But when he is come, he now, not a spook, but when he is come, he will lead you into all truth. And that is what the time and what must be done has afforded us. It has afforded us a platform where we can experience the final call in the exposition of Satan and his agents, known as the shadow government, along with the clearest information, knowledge, and wisdom of our backup and Allah's calling card, the wills, which he clearly in his lectures, especially the last four, used the great scriptural reference in the book of Ezekiel. And why do I call it sweet? I call it sweet because we have been afforded also a weapon, the weapons, or weapons of mass destruction by giving us 58 lectures that we can now go out and become better saviors, because that is all of our goals and that is all of our titles. We may have higher titles of minister, captains, lieutenants, and all of the above, but we all are saviors because we still have fishing to do. The sign of Jesus was the fish. And since we have fishing to do, we have to still continue to go out and fish for the lost sheep. We must continue to fish for those who are thirsting for this information that we have been afforded. We must continue to fish for the least of these. We must continue to fish for those who thirst for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. But we have now been equipped. We have in our holster the truth, the time, and what must be done. And as the brother said earlier, the theology of time was the last and most important lecture series, in my humble opinion, that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad left with us. So, once again, it's bitter. It was really sad to see that the minister, in so many words, has washed his hands with us. He's given us all that we need, and his blood, our blood, is no longer on his hands, because he has given us the tools to be not just average saviors, not just average servants and students, but he has given us tools to be eternal saviors and eternal students and eternal servants. So, yes, it was bittersweet for me, but at the same time, I know that God, Almighty God, Allah, is an on-time God, and he makes no mistakes in his servants. And when his servants make the final call, it is the seal. It is the seal, and as the minister spoke of in the time and what must be done, Lecture 58, he said that the books were going to be sealed, which means that we basically can close the book. Because we have everything we need now. If we sincerely take our prayer to Allah and help us and ask for wisdom, like Solomon said, the man that was black but comely, Solomon asked God, he asked him for only one thing, and that was the wisdom of the world. And God was so pleased of that asking of only wisdom that he made Solomon one of the wisest men to ever live. So we can go ahead and pray for this wisdom, because there's so much science and mathematics and wisdom and physics and metaphysics and all disciplines that are in the universe contained in these 58 lectures. And that's the reason why we must continue to revisit them every week. And if you can, every day of the week, at least put an hour to the side and let that be your scriptural study now. Because the minister did say close the books. He has sealed it. He sealed the books, and the only way we can break that seal is to be great students and great helpers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, yes, it was bittersweet for me, but, you know, I love the minister, and I appreciate his sacrifice and his dedication and his son for even coming up with the concept of the lecture series. And all I can say to the family of believers and the family of other faith persuasion is to listen, learn, and take heed. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam.
Wow, alaykum salam. Okay. And I don't know who that is moving around. I don't know if that's Brother James or Brother Eddie. They both have that habit.
Wasn't me this time, sis.
Oh, okay. That's
I'm
Brother Eddie over there making
I'm
noise.
I'm innocent. I was on mute.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Brother James, you know, I had asked everyone, you know, how did part 58, you, and I was explaining, I don't know if you were on at that time, that for me, it was really quite emotional, because it just reminded me of that time and where we really, really were. And then when the minister said that, you know, he has, you know, his burden has been lifted because he's done what he came to do, then it really spoke to me that, wow, now that time is here. We have to get out and follow instructions and continue to teach on these lectures. And so I want to know, how did it impact you, Brother James?
Well, dear Queen, pretty much the same. You know, it was a clear and irrevocable reality check that we are now at the time of the end of his assignment. And that is paralleled in Scripture when you read Revelation, and Satan is loosed on the world, and an angel with a foot standing on the land and on the sea says, "Woe unto those who dwell on earth, for Satan has come down, and he is angry, and he knows he has but a short time." Well, this is where we have arrived in prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very clear. And he did say that once he completed these lecture series, he will have completed his assignment. Now, his assignment wasn't the lecture series. His assignment was to, first of all, make the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Great Commission known to the world, which he did, and to take his teaching, this word, to every nook and cranny in the earth, which he has done. And he punctuates it by saying that he now has gotten the blood off of all of us, off of his hands. As it is written in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel is being instructed to warn the people. And he's told in words, if you don't warn the wicked, if you don't warn the wicked, they will die in their iniquity, but their death I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked and they continue in their iniquity, they will die, but you have delivered your soul. This is climactic, and it is final. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated earlier on that the final call cannot go on forever. This, in fact, is the end. And it's also a reminder that we now, who declare ourselves to be his students, profess to be his students, we now have the obligation to make sure, even as he did as the Son of Man, but to make sure that this word is taken to every nation, kindred, and tongue. So it was a clear distillation of my assignment as a student. And when I heard it, I said, well, I know now what I must do, and that is to bring this word to as many as possible, to bring this warning to as many as possible. And by the grace of Allah, this is how you will find me, delivering the word. I wanted to also say, since our brother and Dr. Salam had mentioned the sister's concern regarding why the minister called the paper the final call, I just wanted to add that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, told him, go like you see me go and do like you see me do. He also said, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan questioned him about how God made him up into himself, he said he brought him along the same lines that he was taken along or experienced in his own development. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is bringing and has brought the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan along the same lines. And so he knew that the nation would fall, and he knew that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan would eventually stand up. And he knew in the beginning, in the early days, the paper was called, the articles in the Pittsburgh Courier were called The Final Call to Islam. And there was a time when they were at the table and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was addressing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and some of the national laborers. And he stopped right in the middle of his address and looked at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and said, and yes, brother, have the trumpet coming out of the corner of the page. And then he just continued on with what he was saying. So he was getting instructions to call the final call as it was a new beginning of the establishment and propagation of Islam and the teachings. He was instructed to call the Muhammad Speaks the final call, and he was instructed to have the trumpet coming out of the corner of the page. So he was bringing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan along the same lines of development that Allah God brought him along. And he did say, Master Farad Muhammad made me into himself, and I am making you to take my place among the people. Now, that's what he said some time ago. But recently, in a historic believers' meeting address, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that he made me to take his place among the people. And so that making, that process was complete. And so just to address the question that our brother and doctor brought from the sister, he's following to the letter and in the spirit the teachings and instructions of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And as I said to the main question, the impact that it had on me was to make me know my assignment as a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, so thank you so very much. Thank you. Okay, let me remind the listening audience, because I didn't want to leave y'all out, and we almost halfway through the show, but if you have questions or comments, or you just want to express how Part 58 impacted you, please press 1 on your dial pad, or I see y'all making comments in the chat room, and all I can say is this beautiful, beautiful experience. And some people said that they could feel the hair raising up on the back of their neck. Someone said that he cried for 2 hours afterwards because he was just so grateful to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for keeping his word and doing all 58 weeks of the lecture series. And he says he feels like a complete man. That's Douglas from Ohio, who was sharing those sentiments in the chat room. So thank you, Brother Douglas, for sharing that with us. And it's two things I want to talk about with you gentlemen. And I thank you all for joining us because, you know, there's a variation in age here. And so to have Brother Eddie in his 20s and Brother Reginald's in his 40s and Brother James, you're in your 60s, and Dr. Salam, I don't know how old you are. But just to have those 60s, okay. Well, just to have those generations here, it's two things I want to ask. I want to ask about the presence of God when he says, I am. He says, I am present, and he says, I exist. And then I want to talk about the seal of the prophets, because I want people to understand when he said that there was no way in and no way out, and that the Torah and the Gospel and the Quran had now been sealed. And before we do that, though, let me just take this question on the phone, because we want to yield to our listening audience. So hold on. Okay. Brother Reginald, is that you?
Yes, it is. I'm calling in on it.
You can put everything
on. Oh, okay. 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 All right. You know I'm getting old, but I remember numbers. Okay. All right. We got you on that line. Okay. So now let's talk about the presence. And I'm going to start with you, Brother Eddie. Now, what I received was that Allah was present to me. Excuse me. It just felt like it was coming off of the screen or coming out of the screen when he said that, and it may be because of the emphasis that he put on it, but it was like he was saying, I'm right here and I'm right now and I'm telling you what to do, which direction to go, And I just want to know, you know, is anyone else in sync with that, or is that just me being a female? Tell me what you think about that, Brother Eddie.
Wow. Well, first, to kind of in line with my previous, the answer to the previous question, there was a lot of weight for us, especially not only because of the lectures used per se, but because of the things the ministers have went through as far as his heart attack, the infection, where we were not able to see him at the Holy Day of Atonement in Tuskegee, and his sharing that, the details of that with us on the believers meeting, but also sharing the details of that over the Time and What Must Be Done series. He shared that with us and with the people. So we felt a lot of those feelings, especially more for him then, I think, same as much as when he went through his bout with cancer and we saw him the same day, 1999. But it was something specific about now in those words, because we've been following the teaching a long time.
Yes.
Maybe longer than I have, and we have been really watching time unfold and really not knowing when things are going to come to a head, per se. We know the minister has to go away to for that second leg to begin when he goes and get the new teacher. We know that has to come. And when he says that this is the seal, this is the end, there's no way out of it. Well, when he's about to begin the next phase, well, this is, there is no changing this phase as we run its course. He did a lecture some years ago called Beating Prophecy. I was much younger than when that came out, and watching it as I could remember it now, because I haven't seen it in so many years. But the impression I had then watching it was, listening to him was, was there a chance, you know? Do we have to go through all of these things? Would America change? Would America, would we change in time and take the easy way out, submission? Now, of course, we understand underlying beneath all of that that there is no change, because of the way the devil was made, the mind of Satan is. But for me, I'll say personally, it was still that maybe there's a way out of the hard road that we know we have to. But the more we engage in the work, the more we realize it's the depth of the ignorance of our people, the depth of our condition, the depths of Satan, which we can't really truly fathom. We see that it has to continue on the prophesied course. Now, when he says these words, this is the seal, then not only is he solidifying his role, but he's solidifying this, that this, the end of Satan is coming. There's no way out of it. And you believers, as I said, there were three, it would be three hard years that would come, and one would be worse than the other. That's coming. Now, he says this, and not a week later or so comes a lecture that says, "Day, how strong is the foundation? Can we survive?" This all has a lot of emotional and spiritual work. Now, we have
45 minutes to go, so if you need to get your stuff out.
It's a very glad time for us, because as
a
book says, the great and dreadful.
And we had so much food up there tonight.
So,
I ate twice.
Okay, but now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brother Eddie. Wait a minute. We're getting some interruption. If someone has their television on, or have background noise. Please mute your phones until you're called. I don't know what that was. I'm sorry, Brother Eddie. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. But this great and dreadful day, you know, even though this is somewhat foreboding and heavy and emotionally heavy for us, which I can certainly understand, because a lot of the feedback on social media from the believers was, you know, a lot of great and deep emotion, you know. You're just like, wow, is this really? That's just pressing the repeat button thinking, no. You know, so, but it's great for us because we know that day that we have been yearning for and working for and believing for, striving and being in faith for so long is coming.
Yes, sir.
Even though we know what we got to go through, it's coming, you know. But
I'm going to straighten up.
We know we got to work even harder, work even stronger. And we know that now that it, the destruction, the hard part is not the only thing that's sealed into reality of its happening. But the good part is that those who believe, as the Holy Quran says, will have gardens wherein rivers flow. And surely the hereafter is better for them if they but knew. These things, these promises are also sealed. These promises are also right around the bend. So that is the glad tidings. You know, he didn't, in those words, he didn't just leave us with that sort of a sadness, but it was just a reminder for us that there is the time when he does have to do his next phase of his work, and we have to, again, shoulder, you know, that responsibility. I'm just glad that I'm on the side of the winning team. All praise you to Allah.
Yes, sir. Okay. And so I'm going to ask you, Dr. Salam, the presence of Allah. And when he says that I am present and I exist. Now, you know, like I said, maybe it's me. It was something very profound about that expression. And it was something very profound about the look of the minister when he was saying that. And even though he really didn't harp on it too long, but I guess in my spirit, it kept echoing. And so I just wanted to know, when you talk about the presence of Allah, and we talk about the spirit that embodies the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, what do you think of that, in particularly, Dr. Salam?
Okay, thank you, dear sister, for presenting that question. I think part of it really has been answered. No prophet of Allah God lives forever nor teaches forever. There has to be a point. And I have watched this brother and his humbleness throughout the years. And when I heard him say that he was going to give this lecture for a year, I had just a baby inkling of a feeling that he was going to make a grand announcement. And when Detroit came up for Savior's Day, to be honest with you, I don't want to sound strange in saying this, but I was comforted because I know that's Mecca. And if he's going to speak to us in Mecca, we are being set in heaven. And no man, no woman would ever want to see a man that has embraced them in love, in harmony, and sometimes just shook their hand and you felt the spirit of Allah. Allah resides in all of us. And what I try to tell believers, I mean, I've been to the Blue Mosque of Istanbul, and I didn't have any problem telling them that the immediate followers of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, really did not do the prophet justice in the order in which they acted and divided themselves after the prophet was gone. And I said, when I come here, I'm not coming with a beard or a thobe. I'm coming suited and booted in my white shirt and my bow tie, because the messenger told us that a clean white shirt and a bow tie, even if you only have one, wash it every day and put it on the next day and get on the corner and sell the final call. But as to the minister and his face and his expression, the Spirit of God resides in him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come this far. Nobody ever wanted to see that. I enjoyed seeing that brother walk to the rostrum. And when he shook my hand in 1996 with his fur coat and his fur hat on, he and Brother Abdul Sharif getting into Memphis Airport, getting ready to go back home, tears settled in my eyes when I saw that plane take off, because I felt that brother's spirit. So I can't say I was saddened. I felt numb in a sense, but my numbness was whether I have done well enough to even say he was my teacher. So I know he's in good hands. He's guided us. This man will be 81 years old, May 11th, and I don't want to think beyond what I saw and the Spirit of God that I saw in him. But in the Holy Quran, Surah 33 in the Ayat, which is 40, it says, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is the apostle of Allah and the last of the prophets, and Allah is cognizant of all things. So when we talk about Muhammad, we are Muhammad. And this seal of the prophet is now resting on us. But we have to understand what a seal is. And that's, I'm so glad you brought this up, dear sister. And both of the brothers has mentioned this, especially the last one. But the seal is that which serves as assurance and as a confirmation or a bond. It is the fulfillment of an oath or a pledge. We all took a pledge when we joined the nation, and we processed and took many pledges and recited much. All of that was an evolution to the stage where we are now. Little did we know that this conclusion will come at a time when we are still alive. And how many men could speak on a subject for a year? There's no pastor alive could stand up and hold an audience for a year with the same message, especially if you take away the banjos, the piano, the organs, the chimes, the cellos, the short skirts. If you take all of that away, you're back to naught. But this man just stood. It's no music. He's the music. It's no trumpet. He's the trumpet. So I am feeling good now. And prophecy says we're going to Detroit. That's Mecca. I am well pleased. I don't ever want to think that I may not hear that brother's a voice again. And I don't mean to be sounding anything offbeat when I say that. But lastly, I'll say that in the Holy Quran, it says, Al-Bayt Allah, and that means the true house of God. The N-O-I is the true house of God on this earth. I didn't say North America. When the minister, I'll close after I make this statement, when the minister went into the Islamic world, the imams and the sheikhs come and lay their head on his chest. He don't lay, he may reach to do that, but they beat him putting their head on him. They see something. They saw something before we saw it. And one thing that really just told the whole world to just kiss my backside. I'm just coming raw now. is when the minister went into the Soviet Union, and he was on a plane. Pilate actually was started to descend, and he came down to a descending point and went back up. And he came down again, and when he went back up again, and he came down again and went back up. And to make this short, he finally landed. And the minister say he didn't know what was going on. But he said when he got off the plane to go into the mosque, that the pilot said, "Brother Farrakhan, if I had followed the instructions and guide of the man that was guiding me to land, we would have flown into those mountains." I became a stronger believer when I saw and heard that. So I think we're in good hands as we are. We've had the greatest teacher on the planet, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and second to him was his son, our leader and teacher and guide, the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. All we got to do, clean up. And one last thing. When the supreme wisdom come out, a strange thing happened to us. We got away from the basics. And I mentioned this to you. I want to say the same thing I said to you when I was at Starbucks this evening, sister.
Yes, yes, sir. Go ahead and share.
We got away from Study Guide 1, 2, and 3, and we jumped into Master Farad and the God, and now we thought we knew the God, and all we wanted to talk about was Master Farad. But we got away from the foundation. And today, envy exists. This is house cleaning. Hatred exists. Jealousy exists. Who's on post? All of that exists. But now this trumpet has sounded. The minister has said, "I'm going to sit down." And that means we should all stand up the way he has stood up. And that's my say.
Oh, praises due to Allah. Yes, sir. Okay. Brother Reginald, anything?
Yes. We're speaking of the seal. And the minister, as I remember, he spoke of the prophet Daniel, as he was commanded by the Almighty God, as it relates to the seal. And I just want to keep it very brief because I really can't add on to the wisdom that was already shared with us in the listening audience concerning the seal. So I'll just quote a scripture in the Bible, Daniel chapter 12, verses 3 through 7, and I'll just read that, and that will pretty much sum up my answer, I seek refuge in Allah from the curse of Satan, starting at chapter 3, Daniel 12. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" And I, in verse 7 says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, whereby him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." So that scripture right there, I really don't want to add anything to it, but to me, that seal is speaking of two. And we know the two to be Master Farad Muhammad, Allah in person, and his Christ, the honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we have been blessed, blessed beyond measure by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his words that he has spoke with us for the last 58 lectures. And it's come to the point now because the Quran is read from front to back. So that means it's pointing us right back to the Bible. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says that he wanted to stay in the Bible in his final lectures. And he's going all the way back to give us a reminder that in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And then it goes on to say, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word was made flesh. So we have in our midst today, we have an exemplar of the Word in flesh, and he has revealed to us the truth, the absolute truth of the time and what we must do. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Okay. And we have a question, but I'm going to go and hear from Brother James first, and then we'll take the question. Okay, Brother James? Are you there, or are you on mute? Brother James? Okay, he may have his phone on mute because we still have him online. I don't know what happened to him. Okay, I want to move on for the sake of time. And I wanted to talk about something else that the minister said as it relates to what could possibly happen to him next, because we have long been able to follow the minister in scripture, so certainly there's going to come a time where we know that this enemy is going to come after our minister. But as he said, you know, he don't have any fear. He don't believe that Allah is going to permit them to kill him. But, of course, he's going to be victorious. But, you know, we got two kinds of people. We have those who are very spiritual and may be remorseful and may be worried. And then we got that militant group, you know, who might forget that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to walk in those steps of Jesus. And so, you know, it's on us now to prepare and to be ready and to be correct in how we respond and react to these challenges that we have been long warned about. So I want to start with you, Dr. Salam. Let me see if we got Brother James. Are you there? He is... Wow, okay. I don't know why he's... Okay, we can't hear him for some reason. So, okay, I'm going to call you on the other line, Brother James. Just click over. But I want to go ahead and ask you, Brother Eddie, real quickly, how can we prepare ourselves for those challenges that may weigh and tear on our emotions, and how can we remind ourselves to rise above emotion into the thinking of Allah and keep our heads and keep our faith and follow the instructions of the minister and just keep at the forefront of our mind that Allah is going to be the victor in all of this. 'Cause, you know, we have some young people out there who may not necessarily understand the entire process. And so since you are a young man yourself, what would your advice be to our young soldiers out there?
Wow. That's a lot of question for
couple-minute banter. One, to be honest, I am now, and I'll spend a long time learning the answer to. We say seek assistance through patience and prayer. It is very difficult when you've only been here a short time and you don't have the understanding that time and only time can give you of cause and effect of the cycles of time. You know, we were taught about our fathers who live 1,000 years that after a while, when they just got tired of living, they lived 3 meals a day, because once you live that long, you've seen everything.
Yeah.
You see, come right back around. When you're my age, either my age in age or my age in development, you don't have that particular perspective. So, and we who are not Master Farad Muhammad, who have not seen what eye have not seen and have not heard what ear has not heard, and we don't have our hearts, what has not entered into the hearts of men, to know what is in his mind, we don't know. So we have to be patient, and faith is the big part. I've used this a lot lately about Peter following Jesus, walking on the water. And it was when Peter took his eyes off the master, he started to sink. And that is so very important. That image is so important for us in keeping calm and keeping faith with not just the trials of not knowing when the end is finally coming or when our time is coming or when the hereafter is coming, not even that, but even the day-to-day battles that we have in the struggle of being witnesses of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, saviors. You know, that's a lot. You know, even dealing with our people, you know, just that having a faith and overcoming emotion. And I'm currently right now working my way through the study guide. And I'm in the beginnings. I'm right now in the will of God, building the will, and how submitting our will to him who gave us our will. But I was just in a conversation, speaking of emotion, with a few members of our conscious community. In our conscious community, I put strongly in quotes, because our conscious community, for those of us who engage in it, know that we will call ourselves conscious just by the mere fact that we reject a white Jesus, which is not enough, but you know, in some statement, we really define that as the conscious community. But anyway, they were having a conversation about religion and rejection of the Nation of Islam. They were tying the Nation of Islam in with the same Arab white superiority culture that committed crimes and commits today crimes against our brothers in the East and in Africa. Really foolishness, but a lot of, as I was reading and then said directly to me, some of the most vile things about Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farad Muhammad, which strikes a chord with me that you really couldn't say anything like that to me personally, and I don't know what I would do to you, because that's in part, and if my statement is not all appropriate, but that strikes me even harder than if you had said anything to me about my mother, and I would put you down for that.
Allahu Akbar.
No, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said to us that we put up with a lot of crap in trying to follow him and represent him in a civilized manner, in the best manner, as the Holy Quran says. And we hold it in. because believe it or not, we have fought hard for this. And I don't necessarily mean myself, more so as the collective body and those who have really put in time with this. But we have fought very hard, and I've never grown up any other religion. I was born into the Nation of Islam. I don't know anything else. I don't even know what it is like to believe in a white God or what it is like to believe in a spook or a spirit. I have no idea what that's like. I can teach it and explain it, but I don't understand that. But overcoming the emotion to not step outside of our instruction and execute wrath in defense of our man and our God, it is very hard. It is very hard for us to rely on our faith that Allah will handle it. It is very hard for us to see Minister Farrakhan suffer as he does, and we continue to suffer what in ignorance our people say and do, because it is not yet time to take on that destruction of retribution, I'll use the word. But the faith that holds in that burning emotion is that Allah God will make us victorious, and that we, like Jesus, must suffer. The Honorable Elijah, Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan, excuse me, said in a speech when Oliver Grant was murdered, he gave a speech at a particular church, and I can't remember the name of the church. He said that Jesus, a righteous man, lived a short life and suffered, so that unrighteous people could have a chance at redemption, salvation. And then he said something. He said, "Are you any better than he?" So if Jesus, a perfect example, if Elijah Muhammad, a perfect example, Minister Farrakhan for us, even though he wouldn't say himself, we would say it of him, he is a perfect example of submission. He is an angel. An angel can only do one thing, born to do one thing. If they could suffer, then we can. So when you ask me, how do you overcome emotion? I don't know how to overcome my emotion, because I haven't. But what I can say is that I try to remind myself of not only the instruction, but the promise of Almighty God Allah. Whether that emotion be sadness, despair, anger, retribution, but the memory, the rememorization of Allah, prayer, the fellowship of the believers is the thing that is so crucial for us, especially in this time when, as Minister Charles, the regional head of the Southern Regional Prison Ministry, said in a conversation that we had this morning, time when the gloves are truly coming off in the work that we are doing. We really need our community, one another, Allah, and remembrance. As the Holy Quran says, that repetition is good for the believer, and it always repeats these messages over and over and over again, because we need to be reminded, because emotion causes you to forget perspective. It causes you to be locked into the moment. And that is what emotional responses are, because emotion is a temporary chemical reaction of the hormones within the body. But, and I pray that I'm answering the question well and to point, because it's a difficult question for me to really answer, as it is, again, something that I haven't mastered, but just that experience of my emotion that I'm still coming down from, to hold my poise, I have to rely on the promise that Allah will make us victorious. Else, we become kamikaze, I'll just go down with it, you know. But
right.
I'll be to Allah. I'll leave my answer there, but I'll leave it for that. Praise be to Allah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's sufficient. That's sufficient. Okay. And we want to hear from you, Dr. Salam, on that issue, you know, because we do have those young and older who will be very emotional. And, you know, I listened to everything that the minister said, and, you know, we know, we can bear witness for those of us who have been in as long as we have, that everything that he has ever told us has come to pass one way or the other. And so that is going to be a part of the trial of us who say that we believe. So just in your honest opinion, Dr. Salam, you know, how do the believers best deal with that situation when it arrives?
Well, thank you, and I'm so glad you asked that. It's been well answered thus far, I think, but I'll add what I can. We are taught to rise above emotion into the thinking of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not be as profoundly difficult as we really, really think. The messenger of Allah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, had a topic called heaven. And he said, heaven is not a place to rest from labor. It is a starting point. And if I can just recite that, I think I can make my point. He said, a Muslim is nothing. He, she is nothing. He, she is nothing. He, she can achieve nothing, fulfill nothing without working. If you are poor, work. If you are rich, continue working. If you are burdened with seemingly unfair responsibilities, work. If you are happy, keep on working. Idleness gives room for doubt and fears. If disappointment comes, work. If your health is threatened, work. When faith is shaken, work. When dreams are shattered and hope seems dead, work. Work as if you are in a peril. No matter what ails you, work. Work faithfully, work with faith. Work for your mosque, work for your own. Work is the greatest remedy available for mental and physical afflictions. And I believe if we follow the guidance of these lectures and what the minister has told us he's about to do, working with each other, loving each other, evolving into greater love for each other, and actually doing what the restrictive laws has put before us, I think we're nearing heaven if we can do that. And I always look at this thing, this topic called heaven that the messenger wrote. But I have a couple of different Qurans, And this one that M.H. Shakir has, he has a prayer in here, and if I could just read a few lines of this, I would have had my say. This prayer says, O Allah, change my fear in my grave into love. O Allah, have mercy on me in the name of the great Quran, and make it a guide and light and guidance and mercy for me. O Allah, make me remember of it what I have forgotten. Make me know of it that which I have become ignorant of, and make me recite it in the hours of the night and the day, and make it an argument for me, O thou sustainer of all the worlds. Ameen. And I recite that daily, and along with my other prayers, and it just seems to just really get me through the day. And that's my say.
That's absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Okay, Brother Reginald.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Basically, you were asking for what should we do and what should we expect and how should we deal with the naysayers and those who pretty much defame and slander our people. I'm correct.
Not necessarily that, because, I mean, you know, we defend our minister all the time, but what I really want to get to is when the minister said that he knows that, you know, this government, our open enemy, is going to come for him. But then at the same time, we are taught that, you know, Allah is going to be victorious in this, and of course we believe that, but how do we deal with that surge of emotion when that takes place?
Well, I got to once again revert back to the Bible, and excuse me for all the Quranic scholars that I'm not using Quranic references at this time, but I'm going to refer to what Luke said in his book. And in the 21st chapter, he pretty much gave us what to expect, what we should do, and how we should strive harder into seeking the kingdom and its righteousness. And we all know, you know, that we in the nation, as believers, and we see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as Jesus in our midst. So if he is the Jesus in our midst in our modern time, that means that Jesus' story, as we know and as we have been taught in the Bible, is 75% prophecy and 25% history. So it was speaking of a future man. And the Honorable Minister knows out of his own lips that he knows that they're going to come after me. But he knows that Brother Balak, that's not his intention to have him killed. But he knows they're going to come after him, and Allah, he don't believe that Allah's intention is to have him killed. But he may be arrested. He may be in prison. Well, we know Jesus was arrested, and Jesus was in prison. And so if that is prophetic, then we should prepare our mind. We should prepare our hearts for something like that to take place. But what did Jesus say in the Bible when he was asked, Master, what should we do? Luke 21 starts off by saying in verse 7, it says, and they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed by both parents, brethren, kinsfolk, friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not be an hair of your head perish. And your patience possess ye your soul. And when ye shall see Jerusalem come past with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, and to the end of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves war. Men's hearts fell in them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with great power and great glory. And when these things become to pass, then look up and lift your head, for redemption draweth near. And he spake to them a parable, Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when thy now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own self that summer is now at hand. So likewise, ye and ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And what kingdom is that that he's speaking of, that we have been taught in the last 3 to 4 lectures in the time it must be done? That kingdom that we will see coming to save and rescue all of those of us who are seeking the righteousness in the kingdom of Almighty God Allah. We will know that that kingdom that will be coming down, that Jesus prayed for in the Our Father prayer when he said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that great and mighty kingdom, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is the city of the New Jerusalem.
Wow, thank you. And last but not least, Brother James Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am. I've been having this dilemma of not being able to be heard. It's kind of been happening a bit much in recent days, recent shows. Can you hear me, dear sister?
Absolutely.
All praise is due to Allah. Now, would you bring me up to speed? I've been listening and really chomping at the bit to respond to some of these statements and questions, but could you bring me up to speed to where we are right now and what the question actually is right now that I might be relevant in my response?
Well, I was really speaking to when the minister said at the close to the end about how he knows that the open enemy is going to come for him and how, you know, they might attempt to do him harm. And I'm saying that for us as believers, since we know with the surety that Allah is going to be the victor, how do we at that time best rise above emotion and handle those things, because we know, excuse me, that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is walking in the exact footsteps of Jesus, the Christ, as it's been prophetically told. So how do we best deal with that, and especially for our young people, because a lot of people may not understand, or even some of us who have been in forever, we've heard the story, we've received the instruction, but at that time when it hits us and then our emotions come into play, how do we best deal with that?
I can speak directly to that question by being obedient. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has already instructed us that when they lay hands on him, that we should keep our calm and our discipline, because these things are written of him, and for that purpose, that reason, he's born in the world. Now, he taught us that if we don't see him through Scripture, then we don't see him. We're not properly identifying him. And he comes in the volume of the books. Therefore, we can see aspects of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in each prophet and messenger, apostle, and disciple. In the book of St. Matthew, the 16th verse, beginning with the 21st, or rather the 16th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse, we read, "From the time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." See, Peter could not understand why such a wonderful and righteous servant of God would have to go through these things. But the scripture further states, he, meaning Jesus, turned to Peter and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now, why would Jesus say, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Simply because out of an emotional response at what Jesus was sharing with the disciples he had to go through and what he had to suffer. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because it is Satan that will seduce you and make you think that those things that you must suffer are not worthy of you, and begin to sow a seed in your mind that because of your righteousness or because of your worthiness, you shouldn't go through these things. I remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he posed in a rhetorical sense that believers say, "Well, why am I going through this? Why me?" And the minister said, "Why not you? We all have to go through some degree of suffering if we're going to be brought along the path that the minister and that the Christ were and are being brought along to ultimately get to where they are." Remember, Jesus said, "Come follow me." Not come worship me, but come follow me so that where I am, you can be also. And so when you follow a person effectively, that means when he puts his or takes his foot up, you put your foot right down in that footprint that was left. And so Peter could not understand, but this is symbolic of our being obedient. Obedient. In the scriptures, in the Old Testament, Samuel gave a command to Saul that he should eradicate a certain people. Not just kill the men, but kill the women. Not just kill the women, but kill all the children. Not just kill all the people, but kill the cattle. And take nothing of these of the possessions of these people. Well, Saul, after waging the battle against these people, he saw the victory, and he saw the people vanquished, and they had some pretty valuable things, and, of course, some pretty beautiful women. So he didn't kill them all. And when Samuel came, he asked Peter, asked Saul, why did not you obey God's command? And Saul said, I did obey. We did take them into battle, and we killed the men. And Samuel said, yes, but you left some of the women for your soldiers. You left some of the booty of the people for the joy of your soldiers. And Saul said, well, Samuel, I mean, the soldiers fought really hard and, you know, made great sacrifice, and so I sought to reward them. And that is when Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And then the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan took it a notch higher. He said, obedience is the highest form of sacrifice, because obedience may cause us to sacrifice that which is our heart's desire. And so obedience is the highest form of sacrifice. And when the minister has instructed us that he must go through these things, but that we should remain calm, and the way we fight that is to fight harder with the truth, to fight harder in getting our people the truth, raising our people up from the dead state that 400 years of slavery has rendered them in. And for those of us who want to act out of emotion simply because we perceive that because of the righteousness of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the goodness of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he should not have to suffer these things. Well, look at what Jesus said. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, for it is God that has ordained these things, but those that be of men. You see? So obedience is the highest form of sacrifice, and it is obedience that will allow us to rise above emotion into the thinking of God. And lastly, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has related to us that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, brother, you will be right on the lip of the beast, the lip of the dragon. And when you know that you're on the lip of a voracious animal, all he has to do is lick out his tongue to lick you right into his mouth and ultimately down his throat. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, you'll be right on the lip of the dragon, but he will not be able to consume you. So let us take, if we are believers in the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if we are believers in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and yes, if we are believers in Master Farag Muhammad, the God that came to make himself known to us and to the entire world, then we must obey the minister, and he told us. It doesn't make any sense that they take him to jail, that we go with him. He said, who will be left on the outside to propagate the message? So we must be obedient. Obedient. For obedience is the highest form of sacrifice. Thank you for allowing me to answer that question, dear sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. Okay, We're going to go to the phone line in area code 563. You have a question or a comment?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Brother Leon.
Oh. Happy, happy Savior's Day, everyone.
Happy
Savior's
Day.
Happy Savior's Day to you as well.
Yes, I just want to make a comment on that emotional part.
Yes,
sir. What I believe, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you fine.
What I believe, everybody is, I'm in agreement with everyone, and Master Farah Muhammad told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to take plenty. I mean, it's going to be a hurtful thing to see them come get our minister. But I was just reading something from the Holy Quran out of the 23rd Surah, and it was talking about the community being a one community. When this happens, it's incumbent upon each believer to love. We have to be in love with the God first, who came for us, His Christ and our minister. But we also have to be in love with each other, and work is absolutely essential. I've learned this in dealing with pain and dealing with issues for myself. And I know that when I do this work, everything rises up off of me. And that's just my little comment. I mean, I don't want to go deep into that comment, but I just think that the believers, when this happens, this the theme of this Savior's Day has always, every day since the theme has been out, has been on my mind, how strong is your foundation? Can we survive? And it always has been in the forefront of my mind since it just sends the flag up, you know. This is like one of the most how strong is your foundation? Can we survive? And what have we been taught? But on the emotional level, I have learned a few things there throughout the way that helped me, and that's work. That's work. But I believe that we should love the believers, should band in love with the God first, and be in love with each other, then we can survive this.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I concur, Brother Leon, because it's going to take all of us to get all of us through.
That's right.
That are to come. So thank you for that beautiful reminder. And I'm going to do something. I'm going to try to do something right quick. Thank you, Brother Leon. Brother Jihad, Amos Muhammad. Brother Jihad, I know you hear me. Assalamu alaikum.
You're always trying to hide. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, Brother Jihad.
Salam, God. Listen, I brought you in for a reason. I know you've been listening, and I thank you, and I've been meaning to call you because I want to thank you for that beautiful prayer that you offered on the program for Brother Jihad. But as a brother who is always working with our young people, and you're always striving to bring the young people to Allah, dear brother, I could not let that question go and not have someone of your caliber not give us some words of wisdom on that subject matter because it's very critical. Our young people are very, very passionate. And sometimes when you have all that passion and all that energy, it's not easy to convince them to put that energy in a positive place or to understand the scripture, so to speak, because we got some brothers, let's just face it, they're just straight-up soldiers. And so, Brother Jihad, with all your work in the community, give us some pearls of wisdom to share with our young people to get them through the hard times. We got babies that's been growing up in the mosque all their life, and that's all they know is our beloved minister. So what would you say to them?
Yes, ma'am. First, let me seek refuge with Allah from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, in conjunction with all of those who have bear witness to the divinity of Allah in the person of Master Farah Muhammad and our exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and our divine leader, teacher, and guide, who is the Khalifa of the Mahdi and the exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, in the Holy Quran, Allah mentioned the youth on how the youth will come to the elders with golden goblets and how they will come in honor and respect serving the elders. Evidently, the elders had to have served the youth, and that's what's absent in the mosque. One thing Brother James always did as we came up in the mosque, I recited under him. And I was always told to stay away from Minister James because I didn't know of the various sects, if you will. And I was always warned not to go among the nation, not to go among specifically Brother James. And just like a child who is rebellious and want to know why.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I did go among brethren and I heard the teachings, I never heard a minister in the Nation of Islam. He was one of the first ministers I heard, apart from Khalid, the goddamn white man. But he was the first live minister I ever heard. And when I heard him speak, I didn't fall asleep like I do in Juma. It was a lecture that kept me awoke. And this is what the youth need. Something that's going to keep them awake and not lure them to sleep. And he didn't speak in past tense. He spoke in perfect present, future tense. And he was addressing my present situation. I had just did 9.5 years in prison. And that's all I knew was thug life. But I knew that wasn't my nature.
Come on, Jihad.
And he acquainted me with that by the grace of Almighty God Allah. That's and see,
right.
This is why the minister, at a certain point, Jesus said this, and I'll be real brief. Jesus said this, hinder not the little children from coming unto me, or suffer them not from coming
That's
unto
right.
me. See, a child doesn't necessarily mean one of age, being youthful, 10 or 11 years old. You just mean an undeveloped mind.
That's right.
And many times, you know, we run the young brother, and I'm saying young in their development. We run them away before they are developed or properly trained. But running them away will not put you in a good position with Allah.
That's right.
Because Hagar was driven away, but Allah was her protector. Allah was with her, but she ran between Safa and Marwa. And Allah was always there, and he told Abraham, just chill out. I got it. You see, away don't mean gone, and night doesn't mean that it's dark. And silent doesn't mean that Allah is not in communication with his servant.
That's right.
So I sincerely believe that the youth, we never heard of a man, a godly man, speak until we heard the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
And we will fight like hell for a father that we never had. It's amazing how Peter cut the man, the soldier, ear off, but later denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed.
Come on, Brother John.
You see? So we don't get it twisted. The minister walked us out into the community so the people can see us. So that they'll know who was with him, you know, because many of us are destroying our community. And so now you know who to report them to. And at a certain point, the people are going to say, one, you with him.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us will deny him? How strong is our foundation? In order for us to follow him, we must be willing to suffer much. And Minister James said one thing that was so profound. If we are studying, then we'll know what to do. We'll know what to do. Jesus handpicked 12 disciples, but he handpicked 12 character defects. He picked doubting Thomas, denying Peter, Judas who betrayed him, and all the other cowards who forsook him and fled, and none of them was dead when they crucified their Lord.
Come on, brother.
But he had some secret disciples who was on the flank of the 12.
Come on, brother.
And the secret disciples were students. They studied. And to show you how studious they was and how they studied the life of this man before he was even born, because they built a tomb for him to be laid in before he was even born. And no body had never laid in that tomb. So these disciples who was on the flank, they came, and they arrived at the cross and said, "Can't give us the body." They didn't say, "Give it to us." They said, "Give us the body," because they know it wasn't dead, meaning the word.
Mm-hmm.
Place this word in this tomb. We will keep it, because they didn't know what to do with the word. It fell on deaf ears, so Jesus said, "My word have no place in you."
Come on, beloved.
So now we have to receive the word of God. In the Holy Quran, Jesus is referred to as the Kalimullah, or the word of Allah. And so the question is, who is bold enough, courageous enough, and subordinate enough to recite him to the world? The Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan come in your city and 10,000 show up, 20,000 to 2.5 million show up in Washington. Then when he leave your city, there's only 5 in the FOI class, 3
come
in
on,
the
brother.
MGT class. What happened?
Mm.
The people don't have a problem with the minister. Apparently it is us who have a problem with the minister. The people don't have a problem with the minister because they come out in the droves. He said, "What did you come out to see?" Something shaking in the wind? No. They came to see the Son of Man. It is us who have been walking with him and seeing him blindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Woo! That brother Jihad. You know what? I know you're a street soldier, but maybe when you get in your 70s, you'll come out of the streets and we can catch you at a rostrum on Sunday. I want to be right there. I want to be right there. What wonderful words. Thank you, Brother Jihad. I know I kind of twisted your arm and got you in here. But, you know, that's my little brother. He always comes through for me. So
yes,
thank
sir.
You so much for those beautiful, beautiful words. And he's still a young man himself. So, you know, you're very powerful. And I can never thank you enough, Brother Jihad, for all the work that you're doing with the BYC. And, you know, I just urge other people in the community and in their own communities to help Brother Jihad just by helping your own community, because this brother has a wonderful, huge heart, and I know he loves all our little brothers and sisters all over the nation, even though he's stationed in Florida. So to help Brother Jihad in his efforts, reach out in your own community and get a brother or get a little sister and take them up under your wing and take that time to work with them and nurture them and teach them and put them on the right path so that, you know, not only will they be blessed, but you'll be blessed. So we all have to work together, and I thank Brother Leon for that wonderful reminder. Well, as usual, we've run over time, but Allahu Akbar. Before I go, I want everyone to say something to everyone else who they may want to say something to. Inshallah, we'll see you all at Savior's Day. I want to wish you all well. I want to thank you all for participating tonight, Brother Reginald, ex-Win, my co-host, my brother, my friend, and, of course, Student Minister James Muhammad, my Wali, my daddy, my brother, my minister, my friend, my partner, my buddy, and all of the above, and Dr. Salam. Oh, wow, what pearls of wisdom that you offer. And every time I talk to you, you always bring a smile to my face. It's such a, always such a joy. And thank you, dear brother, for joining us. And Brother Eddie, yes, it was so great to hear from you after so long. We know the plantation got you on lockdown, but we are working to free ourselves from that. We're going to support the economic blueprint so we can all get out from under these slave masters and get off the plantation and do for self so that when it's time for us to break bread together, there's nothing stopping us. So that's what we're all going to work on. So I'm going to go down the line. Brother Jihad, since you're with us, is there anything you want to say or share with us before we go right quick? Any words of wisdom, anything? No? Yes?
Is you referring to me or other Brother Jihad? How is he doing?
No. Oh, that Brother Jihad, he's well. He's well. We expect him to be home in a couple of weeks. He's going through rehab. He's reading. He's writing. He's walking. He's talking. And the doctors expect him to be home in a couple of weeks. Okay. So anything you want to share with us, Brother Jihad, before we go?
Well, I'll just say this. If you're out and about, please be mindful of the traffic. It may not be your driving. It may be someone else who is under the influence. If you are home, please check your windows and your doors. Make sure everything is secured. All general orders are in effect. And also, kiss your children. Make sure they are breathing. Tell them you love them. For some apparent reason, they don't wake up. At least the last words they would have heard is, I love you, from somebody who they know really loved them. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Beautiful. Dr. Salam.
Yes, I just have so enjoyed this. I'm spiritually full myself. I just would like to say that let's magnify the love that the minister has for us. Let's magnify that all through the believers. And I would like to ask somebody to try something because I know it works. Call 10 believers every day, 10 different believers, and just say, As-salamu alaykum, I love you. I called a brother just a few days ago, and I try to faithfully do this. And you spiritually, you will be lifted. But this brother said, brother, you were right on time. He said, I was getting ready to make a decision on leaving my home. He said, but I remember something you said on Dr. Ava's show. And just let a believer hear your voice. Just try. I mean, you can't call 10 every day. You're going to run out. But try. Just call a few believers every day and just say, dear brother, dear sister, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I think I just love that. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just love
and
my
we
family.
Don't
let you... I love my family.
Yes, sir. And we love you too, Dr. Salam. And Brother Eddie, quickly, you have any words for us?
Nothing other than I definitely am happy to spend a couple of hours with the family again on a nation building movement. And I definitely appreciate the time to hear all the wise words that I will glean and use in my conversations or particular lectures I give. So I'll let y'all know that. But I definitely do appreciate the chance to sit and listen to the old and wise and the experienced believers. Brother James, Brother Minister James, pleasure to hear your voice again. Soldier, I haven't reached out to you lately. Forgive my business as I'm trying to keep everything together. But
that's all right, brother.
Everyone just keep the faith and stay on the mission and find the joy in the mission, because there ain't much value to us except that which we do to help the people that God came to save. So if nothing else, do a little something. Nobody has, not everyone has to take a rostrum per se, but everything that we do to help a brother or sister is something that shines the light of Allah's mercy in our favor. So with that, I'll definitely leave that there.
Yes, sir. Okay. And Brother Reginald?
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
First, let me humble myself and bear witness to what Brother Jihad said, because Brother Minister James Muhammad was my first minister to teach me, student minister to teach me the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad by and through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Had it not been for this man, I would have been taught by people that wasn't so happy to see me striving to be a better person. Not only did he teach me, but when I was sick, and he knows what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
he prayed and poured oil in my womb and in my head, and he was the only man of God that came to minister unto me in my time of need, which proves the Bible truth that this man looks out for the least of these. And that he asked, scripture asked, when were you hungry and I gave you not food to eat? When were you sick and we gave you not rested and health? And when were you thirsty and we gave you nothing to drink? But the Brother Minister James has and deserves all of the compliments and all of the praises that you are getting. Truly, you are wearing the name Muhammad, and you deserve the name Muhammad because you are worthy of praise. And as you see, you will be praised much.
Right.
Don't ever think about retiring from your post, brother, regardless of what the naysayers may say, because you are an eternal student and you are an eternal mentor to me. And I want to take
Allahu Akbar.
Can I want to take the time to just say what a joy it is to be alive in this
yes,
day.
Yes, sir.
Happy Savior's Day 2014, family. May all
Happy
of you.
Happy Savior's Day, beloved.
But all of you have a safe and wonderful trip to Mecca, and may all of you have a safe and wonderful trip leaving back from Mecca, going to your hometowns. And remember, let's go out and be saviors. We have 58 weeks worth of science, wisdom,
That's right.
mathematics, knowledge, and understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
All right. Well, I saved you for last, Brother James. I'm going to let you close us out. So I just want to tell everyone again, happy Savior's Day. And the rest of the week, you're going to hear rebroadcast For those who are not of the Islamic persuasion, we still will put those broadcasts up. And now we're going to hear from Student Minister James to close us out with pearls of wisdom for tonight.
Thank you, dear sister. And, I mean, I am humbled. I don't know what to say, to tell you the truth.
We love you.
I love you, too. And, you know, I'm just overwhelmed with your words, Brother Jihad. I've had the blessing of watching you grow, dear brother, and watching your children grow. I love you, and I love your family. And I love you, Brother Reginald. And I've had the privilege of being there by Allah's grace. Let me first say all praise is due to Allah for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I am a beneficiary of the redemptive love and work of those men of most recent years, in the last 25 years, specifically and particularly the love and work of the Honorable the Louis Farrakhan. And I can only share with you what I have received. Without those men and without the God, I am nothing to speak of. Man, I'm just humbled. And just to close out, you know, we all have our marching orders, Brother Jihad. I remember that fateful day when the minister departed from Tampa and he gave me instructions regarding you. And I can say that I have kept my word and made it bond where those instructions regarding you concerned and are concerned. So keep working, brother.
Yes,
keep
sir.
Doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
And I hope to see you in Detroit by the grace and power of Almighty God, Allah. And you too, Brother Reginald. And all of you, I hope to see you all in Detroit. But thank you. I'm your little brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. As-salamu alaykum. I can't even talk, man. Y'all making me all emotional.
Allahu
Akbar. Well, Brother Jihad,
yes.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
You know I love you much, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Do me a favor.
Love you too. You know that. Yes, ma'am.
I know. You know, I think it's you pray so beautifully in Arabic. So, can we just close out in prayer, in an Arabic prayer, if you don't mind?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Prayer. O Allah, we offer up prayers in your holy and exalted name as we seek refuge with your protection against the shaitan within and the shaitan without. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا Dolin Amin. the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, the Master of the Day of Requital. Thee alone do we serve, and Thee alone do we beseech for help. Guide us on the right path, the path of those upon whom Thou hast bestowed favors, and not the path of those upon whom Thy wrath has brought down, nor those who go astray. O Allah, save us by Your name, vindicate us by Your might. Hear our prayer, O Allah. Listen to the words from our mouth. Strangers are attacking us. Ruthless men and women seek our life. Men and women who have no love or regards for You nor truth. O Allah, protect us with the best of protection, for there is no protector like You. Heal us with the best of healing, for there is no healer like You. Cure us with the best of cures, for there is no curer like You. And secure us with the best of security, for there is no securer like You. O Allah, we beseech Your help and we ask Your mercy. For we believe in You and we trust in You for all that we need. And we are helpers in Your cause with Your apostle. Please grant us success. Ameen.
Ameen. Allah. Beautiful. Allah.
Ameen.
Long live Muhammad. Long live Muhammad.
Long live Muhammad.
Long live Muhammad. Allahu Akbar.
Long live Muhammad.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. Okay. Okay, I'm going to stop. All right. Thank you all so very much. I try not to get emotional. But Brother Jahar, that's just such a beautiful prayer. I love to hear you. Oh,
yeah.
My
yeah.
goodness. Okay. All right. Thank you all love again it. So very much. Happy Savior's Day. Be safe.
Happy Savior's Day.
Be careful
Savior's
out
Day.
There.
Happy Savior's Day.
I love you all, and may Allah continue to bless you and bless us with the light of understanding as we leave you, as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Alaikum salam.
Assalamu
alaikum, Brother Jahad, Brother Reginald, Brother Dr. Salam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Eddie.
Brother Eddie, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.